KPOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM present The Talk of Emporia, bringing you local issues, topics, and events of the day.
Well, we welcome you into The Talk of Emporia this Friday morning. Tegan Trehoon, your host here today. Being brought to you, in part, as always, by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. Don't trust your catering to just anyone. Get someone that has the experience to make your event a success and call Bobby D's today. Also being brought to you by Newman Regional Health, quality health care close to home. That's Newman Regional Health. Well, today on the Talk of Emporia, we are going to be focusing on an organization that we've had on here a few times now, and one that is really gaining a lot of steam fundraising-wise and a lot of support as of late. I want to welcome in representing Bloomhouse Youth Services. We have Abby Stevens, the Director of Services, and I just found out the birthday girl here today. So, Abby, happy birthday and welcome in.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So, how long have you been with Bloomhouse so far?
Well, I was actually an intern there first in graduate school. So, I was a grad there for 3 years, and then I just started in June full time.
How was that getting to go from kind of intern to full time?
It was awesome. Honestly, I wasn't expecting even a director position right out of college, which was really cool. So I'm just really grateful that Carolee and Clara trusted my vision for Bloomhouse and how much I care for the kids and all that good stuff.
Well, let me tell you, when they announced, they didn't announce you fully. They had said it was in the works. Their excitement level was through the ceiling. They were very excited to be having you come on board. And looking at some of the stuff we're going to be talking about here today, I think I can see why that was the case. One of those things, you know, I want to talk a little bit about is fundraising, because there's been a lot of fundraising going on in support of Bloomhouse as of late, including an event that's coming up here very soon that's really become one of the most exciting fundraising events, I think, to watch here, courtesy of the Rotary Club. And we actually want to welcome in Rotary Club President via the Sutherland's studio line. We have the president of the Rotary Club, the one and only Carly Witt, joining us here. Carly, good morning.
Good morning. How's it going?
It's going great. We're glad to have you here with us as the Rotary Club is getting involved here with Bloomhouse, as we mentioned, with the annual grocery grab this year. Can you talk a little bit about what led to you all deciding Bloomhouse was the direction to go this year?
Yeah, so we have actually had Bloomhouse as the recipient of these funds for the last 2 years. So this is their third year being our recipient. We love their mission and helping the youth in our community. And we really have appreciated their partnership on the grocery grab again this year.
I feel really stupid because I actually knew that, and it flew out of my head right there, so I apologize. I did know that. I'll be the first one to be honest about that. I guess, can we go back to 3 years ago, Carly, and just talk a little bit about how those conversations came about and really how Bloomhouse was identified as an organization really needing this assistance?
Yeah, so those conversations actually probably took place before I was involved with the Rotary, but I know as someone that's on the board and now the president, we really bring these issues back to our Rotarian members. We reach out to our group and try and figure out who in our community we want to support and whose mission really just aligns with Rotary. We're really big on service above self, and I think Bloomhouse is a perfect embodiment of that. Offering these services to youth that need them and really asking for very little in return is a perfect embodiment of that service above self motto.
Well, Carly, do you happen to know or have a ballpark estimate of how much money so far has been raised to support Bloomhouse through this particular event?
I don't have a number right now. I was out last week when we got our second round of tickets turned in, so I know we have Rotarians still actively selling those tickets, and so if anyone is looking for them, they can find one of their local Rotarians, and we'll get some updated numbers here this weekend.
Very good. And let everybody know, when exactly is the grocery grab taking place?
Yeah, so we will be doing the actual grocery grab on November 22nd, 2025. It will take place at 6:45 in the morning, not in the evening, so you got to get up early. But we'll be meeting there at Goods Cash Saver for the grocery grab. We'll do our drawing for the winners, for the participants that can come in and do it on the 16th, and we will notify all of them to let them know that they are one of our finalists and might have a chance at winning their groceries.
Very good. So up till the 16th, you can still buy tickets?
Yeah, we would like to have tickets purchased by the 15th, actually, so we can have them in the drawing. And our Rotarians are being asked to turn in their tickets next week on by our Tuesday meeting. But they can always contact me by the 15th to get some tickets in their last minute.
And again, remind everybody, what's the cost?
Yeah, a ticket would cost a $10 donation. But each ticket does have a coupon for $5 off on the Back to Goods Cash Saver. So that's kind of a good trade, I think.
And Abby, I know you've been an intern. Have you gotten to be there for one of the grocery grabs yet?
I wasn't there for the actual event, but I think Carly might have been one of the recipients, which was really cool.
So, Carly, help us kind of get Abby to understand. I mean, this is really like the most exciting 5 minutes you could ever hope for, especially when it comes to supporting good causes.
It really is. It's one of my favorite events, even though it's really bright and early in the morning. The energy is so much fun. We will all have our 6 finalists there. We do the drawing for who gets the actual 5 minutes of the grab, and then we kind of set them off. They get to go running throughout the store and buying any kind of food goods that they have. We do mark off some of the more household items, no alcohol, no paper plates, that kind of thing. But they are sprinting through the store, filling up grocery carts and bringing them back to the front. They'll have a countdown towards the end where they will know they have 10, 5 seconds left, and the energy is just unmatched.
And Abby, you know, to be able to have Bloomhouse kind of highlighted on this grand of a stage, because this is something, you know, we go and we video it every year, and we have like a couple hundred people watching it. Carly mentioned that's impressive for an early morning, but, you know, we usually end up with several thousand views on it. People love to watch this and see it. How great is it for Bloomhouse to be front and center in that publicity, especially as it comes to still growing your mission and growing your footprint here in the local community?
Yeah, honestly, I think the main goal with all this is just to get Bloomhouse's name out there, because we want any kid, not just in Emporia, but any kid who is needing our services to be able to reach us. So if they hear about us and know about us, then it's more likely that they'll come to us. And so that's getting to, you know, advertise Bloomhouse on a larger scale like that is really beneficial.
The last couple of years, have you had anybody really come and kind of say they heard about it through the grocery grab or other events like this?
I would say other events like this. I don't know about the grocery grab, but members of the community who donate hear about Bloomhouse through the grocery grab, which is cool.
That's fantastic. Carly, real quick before we let you go, we know you're a busy lady. You got a lot to do, so I want to get you heading off to do more great things. But just recap for us here one more time when everything is taking place, how people can get involved here at the grocery grab, and everything else that might be pertinent here.
Yeah, so if you are interested in getting a grocery grab ticket for November 22nd, 2025, you can reach out to any of our Rotarians. If you're unsure of who that would be, people are more than welcome to reach out to myself. We also can be found on Facebook at the Emporia Rotary Club, or our website is EmporiaRotary.com, excuse me. Ticket sales are going to end by the 15th of November, so we can do our drawing for finalists on the 16th. Tickets are $10 each with a $5 coupon included on the back. So reach out to one of your Rotarians to get one.
Carly, just a quick clarification. You mentioned it ends on the 15th. Is there a certain time that people need to have stuff done? Is it like by the time of your meeting or anything like that?
I would say 5 o'clock on Friday. If they are reaching out to me to get tickets last minute, we'll end it by 5 o'clock on Friday.
All right. So you heard it right there. You have until 5 p.m. Friday the 15th to go ahead and get your tickets for the annual grocery grab that's coming up November 22nd. Once again, benefiting the fine folks at Bloomhouse Youth Services through the proceeds here. It's the best 5 minutes you'll ever see in a grocery store. I can guarantee that. It's always a fun time. Carly, thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us here today, and looking forward to seeing how things go November 22nd.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
You too. That is Rotary Club President Carly Witt joining us here on The Talk of Emporia, as again, we are focusing on Bloomhouse Youth Services. Of course, their participation again in the annual grocery grab, as everybody knew that, except for, you know, the guy doing the interview. I totally flew out of my head. But yeah, 3 years that you've gotten to be supported by this. And, you know, Abby, again, I know that this is your first year in leadership with Bloomhouse, but you know, those 3 years of proceeds and generosity from the community, I got to imagine that's gone a long way in a lot of different projects and really being able to provide high-quality services to the community.
Yeah, absolutely. We, just this year alone, have seen an uptick in the need for our services. So opportunities like the grocery grab and, you know, the community has always been so uplifting, and they love on our kids just as much as we do, which is really awesome. And so they really have just been showing up the past 3 years.
So you mentioned an uptick in need. What do you think is kind of driving that right now, just based on what you've heard, what you've seen, and who you've worked with?
There's a lot of things. The cost of living has just gone significantly up. And so a lot of our kids' parents are just really struggling. And so having something like Bloomhouse where they are in a judgment-free space to be able to come in, get hygiene products, clothing products, food, things like that, that really drives that need more.
With the obvious pause in SNAP benefits that we've seen, I'm imagining that's probably been driving things up a little bit as well in at least the last month.
Yes, absolutely. Just in the past 2 weeks, we've seen an uptick in our food pantry use. And just this year alone, we've had 452 visits for our food pantry. And that's, again, teens and their families. And so this past week, we were able to feed a family of seven who really relied on that food stamps benefits. And so they were able to get enough dinner for or enough food for dinner that night.
So already you're seeing a high demand there. You mentioned over 400 visits so far this mm-hmm. year. Have you seen those numbers just pick up in the last few weeks? I mean, you mentioned the 452. What were you averaging maybe weekly or monthly? Do you know?
I don't have that exact number, but I have definitely seen it just the past couple weeks rise. And any food that we get that, you know, we can't store in our pantry if it ever gets very full, very rare,
sure.
but it does happen. We also have a food pantry outside, the mm-hmm. little blessing box. And I'll look out the window every once in a while and I'll see people using that as well.
That's good. So clearly the services you're providing are being used.
Mm-hmm.
So can you give us an idea, excuse me, of kind of what the cost is to all of you for just operating that food pantry regularly?
So we budget out about $40 a week for groceries and things like that, things mm-hmm. that aren't shelf stable.
Sure.
But we see just a variety of things. I've seen people come in with a huge pallet of mac and cheese, so that price ranges. But yeah, a lot of like shelf stable items,
sure.
Which are it ranges.
So, but a lot of it is maybe donations, mm-hmm. things like that. Okay,
yes.
So it's donation heavy.
Absolutely, our food pantry alone is completely donations based.
Okay, gotcha.
So that's how we fill that one, and the other things that we get throughout the week to feed the kids, like we do groups every night where we feed dinner, and so things like milk, cheese, eggs that we can't keep on the shelf. That's what we use that $40 budget for.
Okay, I understand. I gotcha. How many kids are you serving regularly, and how fast does some of that food go?
It really depends. We get about 3 to 6 kids a night mm-hmm. just for groups, and so those are kids that aren't necessarily at shelter.
Gotcha.
Right now we've had, again, an uptick in our shelter intake, and so we've had 4 to 6 kids in shelter in the past couple months.
And is that a rotating number of kids, or mm-hmm. is it the same kids?
A little bit of both.
Okay.
We've had some really short-term stays. We had a couple kids graduate from our program who turned 18, so we can take them up to the day they turn 18.
Gotcha.
And so we've had a couple kids who have been in our ESG program and a couple kids who have just been in the BCP program.
Okay, understood. Well, clearly the need is there, so these donations and the dollars that are coming in here through activities like the Rotary Club's Grocery Grab are going to be of the utmost importance here in the next several weeks, next several months. So let's make sure we're getting out there and doing all we can to support the wonderful work of Bloomhouse. We're going to go ahead and step aside, take a quick break. We're going to come back with Abby Stevens, Director of Services for Bloomhouse Youth Services, as we continue our conversation here on the Talk of Emporia this Friday morning, which again is being brought to you in part by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue and Newman Regional Health.
At Newman Regional Health, our local providers are here to care for the people who matter most, our friends, family, and neighbors. From annual checkups to everyday care, they're here to help you stay healthy, feel your best, and achieve your healthy goals. Call 620-343-2376 to schedule your appointment today or visit us online at newmanrh.org. Newman Regional Health, here to support you and the community we call home.
If you need catering this fall, call Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. For family reunions, weddings, corporate events, and more, let Bobby D's cater your special event. With over 24 years of professional catering experience, we're able to handle any size event you have, whether it's a dozen people or several hundred. From meats to sides to desserts, we make catering easy for you. Don't trust your catering to just anyone. Let us make your event a success. Call Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue today to book your event. 342-1990.
Good morning, Chuck Samples, KVOE News with local news headlines today. Brought to you by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue in downtown Emporia. Kansas Governor Laura Kelly, near the end of her People's Budget Listening Tour in Emporia last night, an evening of engagement with local Kansans. The governor says corrective work done by her administration has allowed the state to flourish financially, still faulting lawmakers for the budget that they passed earlier this year, leading to between $300 million to $700 million in more expenditures than revenues. Republicans disagree. Details at KVOE.com. Initial dirt work continues with below-grade concrete and steel work coming soon as work continues to replace the historic Rocky Ford Bridge southeast of Emporia. And if you've lived in the Flint Hills for at least one fall season, you know what the term peak deer season means, and another example of that with a reported injury crash in North Lyon County last night. Headlines brought to you today by Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue in downtown Emporia. I'm Chuck Samples, KVOE News.
Since 1939, Emporia's live and local radio station, 14 KVOE, 96.9 FM, and KVOE.com. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
Back on the Talk of Emporia this Friday morning. I almost said Wednesday morning. Trying to keep track of my days. Friday morning, the week goes by so fast. And, you know, in that week, there's a lot of work done amongst organizations here throughout the community, including our guest, Blumhouse Youth Services, represented by Abby Stevens, the Director of Services. Abby, you know, we were talking a little bit about the need that's been ongoing here as of late before we took our first break. You mentioned there's been an uptick, and, you know, we are approaching the holiday season, which is when we see the greatest needs. And actually, I take that back. It is November, so we're really into the holiday period. It comes by so fast as well, and the need always seems to go up. I want to talk to you about that here in a minute, but as I understand, you guys do have an event that's coming up here in the holiday season, and you're partnering with another organization. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we have this really fun event. I'm super excited for it. We're doing a collaboration with Street Cats Club, and we're doing a benefit for stray cats and homeless and runaway youth. So it's kind of like a Strays and Runaways art show.
Oh, cool.
So we're asking for donations for artworks of cats for an art show at Gravel City Roasters on December 12th. And it's going to be an all-day thing, so I think it starts at like 8 a.m. and goes until when they close, something like that. Mm-hmm. But the artist gets a third, Blumhouse gets a third of the proceeds, and Street Cats Club gets a third. So it's a great opportunity, especially around the holidays, whenever, again, the needs rise. Kids need certain things. They want to give their family gifts. So this is a good way for the kids to even make some money if they want to around the holiday season.
Yeah, it can't hurt. A question there is, you mentioned, you know, cat-related imagery, you know, home-related imagery, things like that. Is there a specific thing people have to follow, or is that kind of open to interpretation?
No, it's really open to interpretation. They can make crochet cats, they can make paintings, they can do, you know, more like heartfelt artwork, they can do something silly.
Drawings, whatever.
Yep.
It's pretty open.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. Well, if people want to get involved with that, do they contact you? Do they contact Street Cats Club? How do they kind of go about doing that?
Honestly, either. Victoria has been really awesome. We met yesterday and we sat down and did some graphic artwork and things like that for the event. So they can contact me directly. Carolee at Blumhouse has also been involved in it, or Victoria.
Very good. Social media, phone number, I mean, how do they go about doing that?
Either one. They're more than welcome to stop by Blumhouse. We're 24/7, so if they have some artwork to drop off, we'll be available. They can contact me at my email. It's Abby, A-B-B-Y, at BlumhouseKS.org, and it's all lowercase.
Okay. Very good. Well, that seems like a really cool partnership. Can I ask, aside from obviously both of those organizations just having radically cool leadership, we love Victoria. Of course, you know, we love Carolee. We love Clara. We love you. You guys are awesome. But really, how did that partnership, besides the mutual awesomeness, kind of come about between you two?
Well, we have always supported Victoria's vision with Street Cats Club. Carolee has been a foster mom for a lot of the stray cats. So they have a close relationship. But yeah, Victoria's just a really cool person, and we figured it'd be a really fun event to do kind of like a the cats need homes. These kids need safe homes. Mm-hmm. So how can we help each other out?
I was really bummed out this year. I wasn't able to be at the Black Cat Ball, mm-hmm. and I've been at the first two, and we had to go to Oklahoma for a football game. But she puts on such a great show, and you can tell, just like the events that you all put on, she puts so much thought and detail into it. So I'm imagining this is going to be one heck of an event coming up here on December 12th. So we wish you nothing but the best. Again, if you want to get involved, cat or home-related artwork is requested. You can contact Bloomhouse or email Abby at abby@bloomhouseks.com. You said .org, correct? Okay, yes. Very good. Or just go through social media, find Street Cats Club, get a hold of them there. So sticking on the theme of December, you know, the holiday period, as we were talking about earlier, Abby, when it comes to the holiday season, it can be a time of great celebration, can also be a time of troubles and hardships. In some families, and I don't mean this to sound mocking, but in some families it can be a recipe for drama. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine, especially for teens, that can be a recipe for running away. Mm-hmm. Do you typically see a higher need, not just maybe for services, but just for lodging or for shelter during this time of year?
Yeah, I would say the winter and summer months are probably our biggest uptick in shelter stays. People are needing to, you know, stay away from the heat and the cold. So we do have a warming shelter or a warming center for that as well. So I do see a lot of adults coming in, kids coming in, even just for a little bit to charge their phone. Mm. But yes, especially around the holiday season, kids are out of school, and so they're around their families more. And if it's an unstable home life, they often will feel the need to run away at that point.
I was going to ask if the school being out of session played a factor in that. Clearly it does. You know, you mentioned also, you talked about the need for food and things like that. I got to imagine that brings a lot more food insecurity, because sometimes some of these students, and I work with some of them as well, the only time that they get a actual meal is when they get there in time for breakfast at school and then lunch, mm-hmm. if they're lucky. Does that add to maybe some of the conflicts you might see that could lead to somebody leaving the home or somebody coming to you guys for services?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have actually a good success story about that. Is a kid was very adamant that home was not safe, was not supportive. They weren't stable with their food and eating habits and everything. So they told us at Bloomhouse they did run away. But with family therapy and the services that we have at Bloomhouse and telling them that they are more than welcome to come every day for food if they need it, they were able to get back home safely.
Wow. And not to pry too far, but I mean, how is the family dynamic now from what you guys have been able to tell?
It's been great. I'm actually their family therapist, and they have really improved. Dad is going to therapy regularly himself, and their relationship has just really thrived.
That's awesome to hear, because unfortunately, a lot of times you don't hear those kinds of positive stories, so glad to hear that there are some successes out there. You mentioned yourself as a therapist. Can I ask, what made you decide therapy was the course of action for you?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I actually was interested in art first, so I am an art therapist and a clinical counselor.
Oh, wow.
But when I was 16, I was thinking that art teachers are cool, and they're very needed, and
they are
awesome.
Yes.
But I needed something more, and I have a huge passion for helping people and helping others, and especially, you know, teens and kids.
Mm-hmm.
The teenage years are such a strange year, uh-huh. years of like finding who you are and your identity. And so when I found out about art therapy, that it just really solidified that that's what I was supposed to be doing.
So with the art therapy, what do you specialize in more? Is it the art therapy side, or is it the clinical side, or do you have a pretty big balance of both?
I'd say I have a balance of both. I do art therapy a lot in the family therapies that I participate in. And I would say the other half of my clients are going to be talk therapy.
So, you know, art therapy is something that we've been seeing a lot of people really implement as of late. And myself, I love art. My wife is an artist. You know, more on that later. But how have you seen that especially maybe work and help open up avenues for younger people? Because, you know, I would imagine maybe some older individuals are probably more akin to traditional therapy, but how have you really seen this help with the needs amongst the teenage demographic?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that question. I love getting to talk about how the powerful impact art has on the therapeutic process. Yeah. Because it lets words that are really tough to say out loud be seen through the art. So a lot of times a kid won't say what's wrong, but they will show it through their art. And that leads to different avenues of being able to talk to them about it.
You know, for me, one of the things that was really big is I myself am an artist as well. My wife and I, that's kind of our love language, is we really love to just do artwork and we'll compliment each other or something like that. That's kind of how we really decompress at the end of the day. And you mentioned it being able to help you express things. But I think a big question, too, is how big is it for kids' confidence when they're able to take something, a blank canvas, for example? I do a lot of painting. That's kind of my thing. When I start something, I might be in a terrible mood. By the time I'm done, I feel very proud of myself, and I feel very confident. And when people like what I do, I feel very proud of myself, and I feel more confident because people are seeing what I'm doing, and they appreciate it. How do you think that really helps these kids, aside from just being able to voice what's happening to them through the medium of art?
Yeah, that's a really great point. It definitely increases confidence and pride in finishing something. And because a lot of these kids, like I said before, they don't come from stable households.
Yeah.
So a lot of times they don't have these opportunities to express themselves and be prideful in something. And there is a really big shift in the developmental years in a teenager where it's almost embarrassing to show art and be proud of drawing. Oh, yeah. And, you know, that. So as you get older, a lot of times people stop doing art because of that reason. They don't want to be judged. They don't want to be perceived as anything. And so being able to provide these art therapy opportunities helps them with, you know, social aspects of being proud of something and having a lot of self-confidence.
Absolutely. You know, I know we kind of got down a rabbit hole here, but it, as I said, I love art. I love to talk about it. You mentioned, you know, art teachers are cool. And in a way, I feel like they are unofficial therapists in a way, you know. And I just want to give a shout out real fast to my high school art teacher, Josh Pavlik, the Pav, who I think you talked about, you know, how you're building kids' confidence and things like that. And, you know, there can be that time where you're very scared to put something out there. He was always so supportive of anything you did. He thought anything you did was radical because it was something fresh from your brain or it was an idea that you had. And I think it's so great that you bring that into therapy because sometimes that all that kid needs is a confidence boost. And you'd be amazed, like I said, what it can do for your confidence. So to all the art therapists and to all the art teachers, including the one and only Big Pav over there at Emporia High School, still going strong, by the way. Just thank you all for what you do. I mean, I don't think that they get to see the impacts that they really have, but they do wonders. And Abby, thanks for what you do, because it's so cool getting to see something that I loved as a kid now actually becoming something that can help people in their adult lives. So it's really great to be able to hear that that's having success.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're going to take our final break here on the Talk of Emporia. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Blumhouse Youth Services Director of Services, Abby Stevens. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia, which again is being brought to you in part by Newman Regional Health and Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue.
If you need catering this fall, call Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue. For family reunions, weddings, corporate events, and more, let Bobby D's cater your special event. With over 24 years of professional catering experience, we're able to handle any size event you have. Whether it's a dozen people or several hundred, from meats to sides to desserts, we make catering easy for you. Don't trust your catering to just anyone. Let us make your event a success. Call Bobby D's Merchant Street Barbecue today to book your event. 342-1990.
When you need fast care, Newman Regional Health Medical Partners Express Care is here for you. Conveniently located on-site at Newman Regional Health, Express Care offers walk-in service for non-emergency illnesses and injuries. No appointment needed. Open 7 days a week to keep you feeling your best. Call today at 620-343-7828. Trust Express Care for quick, reliable treatment. Newman Regional Health Medical Partners Express Care, helping the Hornets achieve their healthy goals.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Trump administration planning to appeal a federal judge's order to fully fund SNAP benefits for 42 million Americans relying on the food assistance program. The judge says the administration is withholding funds for political reasons. ABC's Karen Travers has details.
It was just a couple days ago that the administration says that they were going to partially fund SNAP benefits by tapping into an emergency contingency fund so that there would be some benefits still going out. But on the issue of this ruling by the judge, there was pushback last night from the White House. Vice President Vance says this should not be the courts telling the administration and the president what they should do.
The FAA moving to limit airspace around the country due to the strain on air traffic controllers who are on the job without pay in this shutdown. An investigation underway after a suspicious package was received at Joint Base Andrews. An Air Force official tells ABC News the package that was opened did not contain a white powder or any other substance. This is ABC News.
Proud to be a part of Emporia, the founding city of Veterans Day.
To all veterans of the United States of America.
14 KVOE, 96.9 FM.
America thanks you for your service.
Live and local. You're listening to the Talk of Emporia. Your questions are welcome. Call the KVOE Sutherland Studio Line, 620-342-5863. That's 342-KVOE.
And we are back here on the Talk of Emporia, taking Terhune, joined in the KVOE studios by Director of Services for Blumhouse Youth Services, Abby Stevens, as we're talking about needs and really the impacts that are coming from different organizations and opportunities here in honor of Blumhouse, such as the grocery grab through the Emporia Rotary Club coming up on November 22nd. Tickets are still being sold. You can get them up until November 15th at 5 p.m. They are $10 per person, with all proceeds going to support Blumhouse Youth Services for the third consecutive year. This will be the final year for that partnership, so it'll be interesting to see kind of what comes next. But really, really been a great benefit here for Blumhouse, as Abby had talked about earlier. Of course, we are getting into the holiday season. We are talking a little bit about the needs there. And so, Abby, if people want to donate, whether it's food, do you guys accept clothing donations still, or is that something that's a little bit more up in the air?
If they call ahead of time, we'll see what we need. Right now, we're really needing men's clothing and like socks, underwear, things like that people don't typically think about. Mm-hmm. We have a really, like I said, the community has been awesome, and anytime they have donations, they will donate to us, which is really sweet. Yeah. But our clothing closet is pretty full.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
So if people do want to bring clothes in or anything like that, you mentioned call ahead. Is that mm-hmm. just to help get an idea of like what sizes you're needing, or what kind of individual they're shopping for?
Exactly. Yeah. And some of the kids have specific needs. And so if we're able to fill those needs, mm-hmm. we'd love for them to let us know.
Do you need new clothing, or can you donate old clothing? Does it matter?
It doesn't matter. We do ask that they're, in decent shape.
Sure.
We want these kids to have, good clothing that mm-hmm. will help last. So
the socks that I have that are holier than Swiss cheese probably wouldn't be a good idea.
No, probably not that.
I thought that might be the case. I can't get rid of them. I just don't know what to do. Abby, another big question here is, as the months start to turn colder, you mentioned that sometimes that's when you see a big uptick as well, because people are trying to get away from the cold. I think it's important to remind folks, you do have a certain demographic that you're serving, and unfortunately your services aren't available to everyone, correct?
Correct, yeah. The grants that we're on are federally funded, and they say that we can serve teens, and if a family has a teen, then we can serve the family. We are a warming center, though, for any adult off the street. And so if they just need to come in for a little bit to get warm, charge their phone, get a cup of coffee, we are available for that.
They don't need to have a teen with them?
Yep.
Okay, very good. That's good to hear. I did have a question about that. I know this probably came about before you stepped into your current role, but for the last few years now, Blumhouse has been acting as both a cooling and warming center. How did that kind of come about? Do you know, or how important is it to be able to provide that service to the community, especially, again, you're an organization that's become very well known in the last few years, but still growing. I mean, that's got to be great to help spread more awareness of your mission.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how we came to be a warming center, but we constantly are getting calls from adults that are seeking shelter. And unfortunately, there's just not a lot of opportunities in Emporia for adults alone. And so we want to still be able to help anyone we can, even if it can't be something like services through therapy, things like that, that are grant funds.
And of course, people can donate financially as well, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there any additional steps to that? You know, obviously, you don't want to send cash through the mail or anything like that, but can they come and make those donations in person?
Yeah, they can make donations in person. We have our website has a link directly to donate, and then any of our social medias, you can get to our website through there.
Fantastic. Do want to remind everybody, this year, our Chest Bumps for Charity initiative has been focused on Blumhouse, and somebody had texted me the other day and said, hey, you're not really putting out the totals like you were at the start. And I said, oh, that's for a reason. You know, I like towards the end to kind of keep it a little bit secretive so that we can make the announcement. But just want to say to everybody that's supported so far, it's been great. People have been coming up to us pretty frequently and asking, you know, how can I get involved? How can I get involved? And I think that really speaks to the mission of what you all do, because, you know, everybody knows a teen or somebody. A lot of people have kids that are in that age group now. And I mean, do you think that has a lot to do with the support that you're all seeing, is the fact that it is the demographic you're serving?
Yeah, I'd say so. And I always like to remind people that we've all been a teen at some point.
Yeah.
And we all know how hard it is to be a teenager. Yeah. And when you add on things like trauma, unstable home life, things like that, it typically will drive people to want to help more because they know those kids are struggling more.
Well, I am a few years older than you, as we came to find out earlier today, but not by much. But, you know, the thing is, I think even when we were kids, that struggle of the teenage years was slightly different because we weren't as aware of trauma and underlying factors like that. I think a lot when I was growing up, you know, into the early teen years, all the way up into high school, it was, oh, he's acting out because he wants attention, or, oh, they're acting out because they don't get enough attention, or they're doing this and they're doing that. I feel like we've come so far in understanding the underlying causes of these kinds of things. How do you think that that's also maybe contributed to the support that you're seeing, that people have a better understanding of why being a teen, especially in today's society, where it feels like things are a little bit more divisive, there's a lot more to navigate, I would say. How do you think that's maybe helping people understand the need here and wanting to step up?
Yeah, I think awareness is just the biggest thing. Is
sure.
When we become more aware of struggles like PTSD, traumatic events, mental health awareness just in general, then it helps to understand why people act the way they do or why there's certain behaviors, and it makes it less stigmatized. Mm. And so when it comes to teens, like runaway and homeless teens, they aren't just running away because they want to. There's a reason why they're doing it. And so I think having that kind of empathy awareness, and that really helps people want to help out more.
Absolutely. Are you, you mentioned wanting to help out more. Are you seeing people that you've served before wanting to come back and help in some way, whether it's volunteering, whether it's, you know, donating or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a kiddo right now who we're really trying to get them to wait until they're 18 because they're still using our services.
Sure.
But they are just so appreciative of us, and we really love them. But they want to volunteer their time. They want to volunteer or donate food, money, things like that. And so they're very excited when they turn 18 to help out.
So really another success story right there. You know, I think back to just about 10, 15 years ago, you know, I was very confused and lost. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I mean, I knew what I wanted to do. I just had no idea how to do it. And it took one person to really kind of help set me on that path. And it seems like you guys are really playing that role in a lot of these kids' lives, because I got to imagine, while some of them probably come to you and they know what they want to do, they're just coming from a difficult situation. There's probably a lot of kids who don't know what they want to do, and being able to work with all of you probably opens up those possibilities. Have you ever really stopped and thought about that?
Yeah, I have. And there's definitely ups and downs of this kind of work. There's a lot of burnout and things like that, especially with this helping role. But honestly, the benefits and the wins outweigh everything, especially when you know that you're making an impact in someone's life, that these are a lot of kids' rock bottom. Yeah. And so helping them, like our case managers, for instance, speaking of like not knowing what you want to do, where your life is going to go.
Sure.
We have some amazing case managers, Alexis and Emily, and they are those like first step people for these kids.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think a big thing too is when you kind of sit there, you think about it for a little while, you talked about the burnout. We've talked about it before, you know, just back in the other room. When it comes to our job, it's very time consuming. It's exhausting, and we're not dealing with nearly half the stuff that you all are. But you find that there's always that one thing that really makes you keep going forward. You know, is there one thing that you focus on? You talk about wins and things like that, but is there one thing that is kind of always in the back of your head as a motivator to keep going when you feel like you can't?
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to lie. Working with teens is hard. And actually, if you would have told me 10 years ago that I would be working with teenagers, I would have laughed.
And then left. I understand.
But it's honestly the kids. Like, yeah. They are so funny and themselves.
Yeah.
And it's just wanting to, you know, set them up for success is really the drive. And it's kind of like a big puzzle piece working with this kind of population is – you know, you have to meet their needs first. If you look at, like, Pavlov's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah.
Or not Pavlov. You know, hierarchy of needs.
One of those guys.
One of those guys. it's, you know, you meet the immediate needs first. So that's housing, food, water, clothing, things like that. And then you get to do the fun parts and the also hard parts of therapy, case management, helping them with their mental health. And then just setting them up for success in that way before they even become an adult.
And Maslow, I think, is who
you're. Maslow, thank you.
Yes.
One of those things.
I had to Google it, so I don't want to sound impressive. I had to Google it. She at least knew it was somebody of that.
It's been a minute since I was in grad school.
No worries. You mentioned, obviously, working with teens can be hard. I also run a mentorship program, and I understand, you know, some days it's great, some days it's tough. Having to take on the burdens of other kids, though, because you do have to have a lot of empathy to work with them and in some ways kind of shoulder the burdens they're facing. How do you all manage to handle that, plus your own life, you know, plus the stressors of work? You know, how important is the team dynamic to kind of helping with that, having multiple people that can shoulder the need when it's needed?
Well, we have a great team. I am so appreciative of Clara starting this organization and setting those expectations of we are all here to lean on each other and help each other and no one has to do this alone. And Carolee is probably the most supportive boss I've ever had.
Yeah.
She's always – I have to remind her, though, to take a step back and take a break, too, because she's
you
always –
You don't say.
She's just always go, go, go and helping us out and the kids. And then, yeah, like I said, Alexis and Emily are really steady rocks. They're just always a very calming presence. And, yeah, the team as a whole is just really awesome. And we have some really stellar volunteers and interns. And so I guess, you know, going back to, like, the needs this holiday season is that if anyone has any kind of time to donate, it really does help us out because then we don't have to – we're 24/7, so then we don't have to be there 24/7.
Sure.
And that helps that, with that burnout.
That's fantastic. Well, Abby, it is a pleasure to finally get to meet you face to face. We've heard a lot of great things, I should say. Carolee and Clara have talked you to the moon and over and back. I mean, really, and I can see why. You clearly have a passion for this, and we're so excited to see how things pan out on November 22nd. We also can't wait for December 12th, the Street Cats Club collaboration, there with the art show at Gravel City Roasters. Please keep us updated and let us know how we can help out with that. And, of course, just got to get a quick plug in there. We do have two more games left in the football season for Emporia State with Chest Bumps for Charity. Of course, all proceeds this year supporting Bloomhouse Youth Services. So, please, if you haven't made a pledge or a donation, you've got two more games to do it. Or, hey, if you want to make up for lost time and give us something for the whole season, we'd be happy to entertain you. Just get a hold of me, and we can make it happen. But Stingers up, and, of course, go Bloomhouse. We are so appreciative of all the work that you all do, and it's our honor to get to support that. So thank you for what you do, Abby, and thank you guys for just running such an amazing organization.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And one more time, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Hope you have a great weekend and enjoy it. You only turn, 20? I can never tell anyone's age because, again, I look 45 and I'm only 31. So, but we do wish you nothing but the best birthday and many more to come.
Thank you.
Thank you. That is Abby Stevens, Director of Services for Bloomhouse Youth Services here, joining us on the Talk of Emporia. A lot of great things coming up for Bloomhouse. Make sure you find out more. Again, Abby, before I let you go, just remind folks, if they do want to find out more information about Bloomhouse, what's the website? Where can they go?
So they can go to www.bloomhouse.org. I believe that's it. It might be Blumhouse KS. All of our socials are the same thing, so Blumhouse KS.
Fantastic. All righty. Well, that's going to wrap up the Talk of Emporia here today. Again, Blumhouse doing great things here in the community. Make sure you find out how you can help support them by going to BlumhouseKS.org. Make sure you stick around. We still have our 12 o'clock block of news and information coming up shortly, starting with a check of the news from ABC. Of course, we'll have the latest local news from Chuck Samples. We'll have sports with Blake Cripps and much more, all coming up here live on KVOE, live and local.
KVOE, AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local. The KVOE forecast from the TV 13 weather team.